One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me on this spherical earth is Mr. Dave Callens.
I am.
And our producer and flat earth debunker, Mr. Robert Timothy.
Let's just say it's still up in the air. We're not 100% sure yet.
Right. Really debunk it.
Or up in the dome. Who knows?
Yeah, that's right. Jury's still out on that. So anyway, we held the flat earth debate this past Thursday.
What a thing that was. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. I got to see a bunch of comedians I haven't seen in a while because I've been super lazy about going to open
Huge
mics.
Success. It was actually, it turned out better than I expected.
It was standing room only.
Yeah.
I did a show there. I did a comedy show there every week for like 2.5 years, and I never got nearly as many people as we got for this one-off debate.
No, it was fantastic. Had a great time moderating. Got some work out of it, too.
Nice job. You did very well, by the way. I must say, I was a little skeptical of having Ryan moderate just because he can, you know, Ryan can get very aggravated at people, and this would be a situation that would be very aggravating for him.
Yeah.
He did very well. Not only did he keep his cool, he kept the audience. Congratulations, Ryan.
Excellently. Well, I mean, that's one of those things where I've mentioned this before. When I was starting out, stage time, like for everyone else, was sparse. So I supplemented that by emceeing punk shows. And that's when I developed the ability to control a hostile audience. Anyway, so I want to talk about, now that it's all said and done, and by the way, we will be airing the entire thing, our next episode. It's 2 hours long, though.
Yes. Yep.
So we need to cut out a lot of dead air. Yep. For all you flat earthers out there, I assure you we're not going to edit out any points Daniel made. So
we're editing for quality, not content.
Yes. So I want to talk about something I couldn't talk about before because I had to stay neutral and everything. Is my relationship with Daniel leading up to the event, at the event, and then after it. So leading up to
it. You guys are roommates now.
Yeah. we're going to do a buddy sitcom. What happened was, I initially, and I've talked about this before, I contacted him and said, what do you want me to say? And like we said on previous episodes, he flooded me with shit. I mean, ludicrous credits, everything from that's not what you actually are to that's not even a thing that exists.
Right.
So, but I wanted to, give him his fair shake and intro him the way he wanted to be introed. I mean, fuck it. At comedy shows, half the time the credits a comic would give me to introduce him as, he doesn't actually have. Like,
right.
You weren't on Comedy Central.
Trade secrets. Bobby, edit that out. We don't want everyone to know.
So, sorry, in honesty, I can't be editing this out.
So, anyways, cut to Monday of last week. I was out to lunch with Aaron, and all of a sudden I realized, oh shit, this is Thursday. I really should start promoting this on my social media pages. So again, I did this on the fly. I made a post with Bobby's credits, and it was done so haphazardly, I even botched one of Robert's credits.
I love that he downgraded my learning institution, too. He went to Davis, which I love, because I later commented, it's okay, Ryan, I'm not at all offended by you downgrading my credentials. And by the way, I'm so excited to have a former amateur lucha libre wrestler announcing this.
Yeah, so anyway, I botched, Bobby's school, and Bobby's one of my close friends. I even fucked that up. Now, as far as Daniel's credits, when I posted about him, my head was fucking swimming with all the shit that was sent to me, not just by him, but by other people. And over the course of the last month or so, a few people have sent me something about him that he is vocally anti-transgender. And I don't know why, but in my on the fly while out to lunch and having a few pints with Aaron, I included that on his intro. I was like, he's the Pope of the Subgenius Church or whatever. He's a self-taught archaeologist, I guess, and also a leading voice on flat earth and anti-transgender issues. And he saw that and didn't like it. So he contacted me.
Very much didn't like it.
Yes. And so he contacted me and said, what the fuck is this about anti-transgender? I'm like, aren't you? And I even went to his page, and the first two things I saw were him making fun of transgender families. And I'm like, I screen grabbed him. I'm like, look, I mean, it's not really a secret. And he's like, that has nothing to do with the debate. I'm like, and I said, you're right. I'm sorry. I will edit that off the post if you wish. And it could have just ended there. But then he decided to start name calling. He said, I'm paraphrasing, but you're pathetic. You're a shady individual. And from this, I'll read you my.
You wear socks with sandals.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, before we get into more of this, I just want to note for the audience that sure, that doesn't have anything to do with the debate. But neither do most of the credits he gave you.
Right.
He literally said he is a pope in the Church of the Subgenius.
Well, and listen, I'm going to be Daniel's advocate a little bit in this argument because he is a nice guy. There's some bad ideas he has. He's a nice guy. I talk to him a lot. I want to try and support him or be devil's advocate for him as much as possible.
Well, I'm going
to
get into that.
The thing, the pope of the Subgenius thing, we may make fun of it and not believe in it, but I mean, technically that's a real credit because there is this group called the Subgeniuses, and I think he has, I think you buy in or whatever, and he is at whatever level I assume that he is saying he's at. So to that extent, that is a real credit.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but not relevant.
Right.
True.
So
anyway, he started with the name calling. At this point, I tried to be, as nice to him as I possibly could. I apologized for saying something that offended him and offered to fix it.
And this was our plan going in when we first thought of this. We're like, we got to be nice to this kid because we don't want him to bail on us. We don't want him to be like, oh, you guys are too hostile, I'm out. So we were all intentionally being super nice.
Right. And I said right here, I thought this was one of your causes. I'll edit it out immediately. He continued with the name calling, right? And so at this point, I just fucking had it. And my response to him was, I got it right here. I'm happy to edit out my mistake, but how about you watch your fucking mouth? Because I had fucking had it at that point. That's all I said because he was, I had put up with this kid's shit for too long.
Right.
So finally, he went, watch my mouth, how? I said, I don't like your tone or being called pathetic or shady. I've edited out my mistake. Are you done or do I need to have a word with you before the debate? Because I was fucking so done with this kid.
Right.
Now, pulled the reins back a little bit because I did acknowledge this was Bobby's night. Not the Degenerate Podcast night, not Science Factions night, Bobby's night. And I did not want to ruin it, because I could not fucking deal with this bullshit any longer. So I just said, all right, enough. And so he definitely was shaken by that, to say the least.
Yeah, so then comes me. I'm just sitting around at work trying to get a fucking job done. And all of a sudden, I start getting bombarded by instant messengers from Daniel. And he was saying, like, oh, Ryan's bothering me. And I was like, don't worry. I'll fix it. It's fine. If he says something wrong, I apologize. We're doing well. And we're still going on. It's still Thursday and everything. And then this is what was frustrating is I had come to him.
This is what was frustrating?
Yes. I had come to him like 3 weeks beforehand. I proposed some rules for the debate, and the whole point was to keep it from getting too much crosstalk. One person was going to present back and forth in a formal debate style. We were going to rent a projector because we were going to have one person standing up. The other person was going to be off the stage, so we had a bunch of room on the stage. We had all this stuff planned, a specific set format. I said, are you okay with this? Please make sure you tell me because I'm going to go rent the equipment. And projectors are not free, and screens are not free.
For scientists, I think you had a discount.
That's right. And
did you use your Pope of the Subgenius discount?
Fuck. I'm only a bishop. So I went to go rent everything. I got everything set up. And then after this conversation he had with you 3 days before this debate, he just informs me, I don't want to do the format anymore. I don't want this to be an interview, like a back and forth interview. And I was like, well, but I mean, I don't know about you, but I spent the last 3 weeks preparing. I have a PowerPoint ready. I would assume you do too. What do you mean? What are you talking about? And we're going to completely change it. We've been advertising a specific debate on both Science Faction and the Degenerates. I don't want to do that. I also told the venue it was a specific type of debate. And he's like, I just don't want to do that anymore. And by the way, no visual aids. I don't want us using visual aids.
And this is particularly frustrating because when you are the person that's doing all the work and putting forth all the effort, and someone who's doing zero decides they want to make some changes at 0 hour, it's like people that work on award shows. When you watch award shows, those celebrities aren't actually ad-libbing. That's all dialogue written for them by comedians. And people showed up to rehearsal days before. And once in a while, a diva or something will just show up on the night of the award show and go, I don't want to do any of those lines. Nah, we're going to scrap all that. All you that have been working on it for the last few days while I did nothing, I'm here to make these changes, That's what's particularly frustrating.
Yeah, and so I was like, listen, first of all, a lot of these points are visual points, and you're not going to be able to explain your model correctly, which is what I want you to do without visuals. Also, you don't tell me how to argue. I am going to use the visual aids.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But if you really don't want to, You don't have to use visual aids. And if it's really that important to you, even though you agreed to this 3 weeks ago, and even though it means that I can no longer do the projector thing because we are now going to have a table on stage and an interview situation, we're going to have lights on us so we can't even use a projector, we'll have to go get a TV and I have to scrap my rental deposit. Fine. Fair enough. We will change the entire debate.
Fine, I would not have been fine.
I know. We will change literally the entire debate format to fit what you want. We will do an interview style. I will still use visual aids on the TV monitor, essentially. And you can, if you want. If you change your mind, give me a USB drive before the show, and I will put whatever visual aids you want up. But I am definitely going to use them. But we will change the entire structure and do it like an interview style debate. We agreed on that. He showed up early on Thursday. We had a great conversation, talked very cordial. I bought the guy a beer. We hung out. It was a great time. So, again, I want to make sure everybody knows I'm not talking trash about him on this. But I will say the one time that I was probably more frustrated with him than any other time during this entire debate or the entire time lead up, it wasn't even the changing of that at the last minute and scrapping all that work I had put into it, all that stuff. The thing that bothered me is one of the first things he did when he sat down at the mic was say, oh, well, he gets to use visual aids and I don't get to use any visual aids.
I believe that may have been part of the plan.
Yeah, now, my interaction with him, we're going to get back to his shores in a second, but my interaction with him has been very limited because previously I'd only seen him online on Facebook. And he's incredibly hostile
yes.
in his arguments. He's very ad hominem, just yelling at people and being a complete dick. He ended up blocking me a couple years ago, so I can't even see what he's posting. So that's all I know. And then I hear from Shores about his exchange. I hear about Bobby, the change of the debate. And so it seems to me that he's the kind of person who he's worried that he's not going to do well or his performance anxiety, whatever. So he's trying to get the debate scrapped, it seems like.
That's what I gathered from it, too. I feel like he was waiting for something to jump on and say, and call shenanigans on.
Right, trying to bait you guys into...
Right, and so, you know, I mean, he fucking contacted me to call me names. I'm clearly able to tear his head off. And so anyway, that being said, you know, leading up to now, I said to him, don't contact me again until after the debate. Anyway, number one, because Bobby then called me like, what'd you say to Daniel? He's freaking out.
Right.
Number one, for a guy who likes to call people snowflake and make memes of him mocking people crying and calling people sissies, he sure was offended and rattled by watch your mouth, you know?
Very typical for that type of person, though.
Right, right. And suddenly it's my safety's in jeopardy. So that was number one. Now, leading up to the event, I'm like, I'm trying again to not ruin Bobby's night. So I'm like, I was giving myself like a pep talk on the way up to the thing. Like, all right, if he says something, don't fucking hit him. Don't fucking hit him. Just fucking wait until after. Hit him after. Ooh, hit him after. And so these are the things I was saying to myself. Just keep it together, punch him afterwards. And so then I meet him face to face for the first time. And my socks were blown off by how cordial,
yes,
nice, I'm going to even say likable that kid is.
Yes.
He came up. He was even doing things that even most comics don't have their ego in check enough to do. He was asking me questions like, hey, I really want this to go well. Is there anything I could do? I'm not used to being on stage. Should I eat something beforehand or do you not think so? I will say this, though. Very paranoid. Very nice, but very paranoid because even when I was like, I told him, yeah, you should eat something because when you're up there, you're going to be burning a lot of calories. Your adrenaline's going to be going. So you're going to want to put some calories in you so you have something in the tank for energy. And his response was, you're trying to mess with me. If I eat French fries or something, I'm going to throw up or something, or I'm going to be too weighed down. I'm like, no.
Shit, he's on to us.
Yeah, you need, because I suggested he go across the street to the burger place and get some fries and a Coke just so he'd have something in the tank. He's like, oh, if I eat that, something's going to happen. I'm like, no, you definitely should eat something before you go on stage.
Yeah, we actually went to the burger place beforehand. We had a plan set up. We drugged the French fries, and this was all part of our master plan.
So anyway, nice guy. I'm going to even say I enjoyed talking to him because the kid's charming. He's a great guy. So after this all goes down, and after the debate, you know, he thanked me for doing a great job, and, you know, he was nice to everybody. Even people that really just don't like him were like, he's all right.
Right.
And so I walked away from that debate going, maybe I misjudged this guy. Maybe he just comes off wrong, or I don't know what it is, but he's obviously a nice guy. I misjudged him. And then the very next morning, I did my ritual of waking up at 5:30 and sitting on the toilet with my phone to look at Facebook and the news. And there's the Daniel Falkenbach that I know, trolling five different people in arguments with everybody, insulting. And then it hit me. I just think that if, number one, like you said before, if he didn't have flat earth and conspiracy theories, he wouldn't have anything. And if he was not trolling people and making people upset, I think in his mind, he would cease to exist. People would not know he was even there. And I think with people like that, you'll notice conspiracy theories and online trolls, they don't have a lot going on professionally, romantically, or socially. And so I think in their minds, it's better for everyone to be calling him an idiot or an asshole than to not know he existed. And it's better to believe in something that he can champion than to not have a purpose.
It's,
you know,
a little bit of a martyr complex, too. It's like, oh, all these people are against me, but look, I'm standing up to him. Like, that was one of the things that struck me about him, too. Like, I had never seen him, his face. I never knew what he looked like. I get to the event a couple hours early to help Bobby set up. I walk in. There's Bobby. There's our friend Richie Estrada. And there's this long-haired dude from the bar, I assume, helping him set up. And so he's the one guy I didn't know. So I went up and shook his hand. And, hey, what's up? And then a couple seconds, he looks at me. He's like, I'm Daniel. And I just played it off. Like, I was like, yeah, I know. Like, I pretended I knew who he was. But super nice.
It'd be great.
Super cordial.
Dave tried to one up him. He's like, no, I'm Daniel.
No, you have my voice.
But no, he was really nice. But I could still see that, like, it was surface nice. You know what I mean? Like, he knows how to interact with people. He's nice on a surface level, but he's just an asshole.
I have a different theory. I think he is a very nice guy. I really do. I think he's a genuinely nice guy. I think he is more susceptible to something that I must admit that I'm guilty of, and I think all of us are to some extent, which is keyboard warrior syndrome. You are more likely to treat someone like shit. You are more likely to dehumanize them or say something mean. And I might have even been guilty about this about Daniel himself without trying to do it. If you're not talking to them one-on-one and then you get in a room one-on-one, you're like, this is just another person. I need to treat them well.
Right.
And I think he does that. And I think that's his real self coming out. And then when you see online, when he gets really
aggressive.
That's
what I agree with.
I think that is a different thing. And I think it's part of this, part of a condition. Now, I think he certainly has it turned up to 11, right?
Yeah.
But I think when you get to him one-on-one, he's really a nice guy. He can be brought out of that, which is one of the reasons that, like, by the way, guys, this isn't the end of me and Daniel hanging out. We have an experiment planned. We want to go do this experiment, which he agreed to during the debate.
This Knott's Berry Farm trip coming up.
Right, yeah. Well, he agreed to an experiment during the debate that I said, well, listen, if what you're saying is true, then this experiment would work one way. If what you're saying is false, or basically if what I'm saying is true, it would work another. Let's go and do it. We can literally go do it together. And so we're going to go do that. We're going to spend some time together. This is not like we hate each other. I disagree with what he says, but I still think genuinely he is a nice dude at heart.
See, I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think he does have some hostility in him. He really does.
Because
you can see during the debate, he was getting fired up. He was getting angry.
Yeah.
And he's also... This is one of the things that bothers me about these conspiracy theorist people. Like, at the start of the debate, pre-debate and at the beginning, he was very proud to be a self-taught anthropologist,
mm-hmm.
saying self-education is the best. That's the only way you really learn.
Yeah.
Only way you learn. Then at the end of the debate, he's like, hey, I'm just a high school graduate, and I went toe-to-toe with a college graduate. Like, you can't have it both.
That's
you can't
correct.
Be proud of being self-taught and then saying you are an underdog because of that.
Well, yeah. And again, to play Daniel's advocate at this point... He was in a room that where most of the people did not agree with him, right? So the vast majority of people in that room and on this round earth in general do not agree with what he says. And so going up there in a public forum when, like he said, he hasn't been on stage for a long time, that takes balls. Congratulations.
Yes. Sure.
I think some of it, he got a little too aggressive, especially with some of the Q&A at the end. He had it out with one or two of the people who came up to ask questions at the end, and that got very aggressive, and that was a mistake. But, like I said, cordially, both before and after the debate, we were very good. It was very cordial. It's very nice, and I think that's the real him. I think if we can pull him out of that thing, and I think Ryan brought up something good, which is there's a social element to it. If that is your way of socializing, if that's your social group, then if you go out and talk trash online, you're displaying for your social group. It's kind of like when you were 13 or 14 years old and one of your buddies was gonna get into a fight and you came and stepped up with him. Yeah, man, that's my buddy. That's my bro. He's gonna fight for me, you know?
Right.
That is what he is for his community in his mind. I think what we need to do is get Daniel out into the world a little bit more, to those things where he's friendly and cordial and nice in person because he's around a bunch of people in a social setting.
I also think education would play a huge role
yes.
in this.
Yes.
Most conspiracy theorists, coincidentally, are not very smart.
True.
But that, and that's why though he's anti-transgender. It's like there's a level of ignorance there that he doesn't understand things, and so.
And I will say this: let's play our first clip of this debate. If you guys were wondering, oh yeah, he had Ryan up there; he's probably picking on him. I want you to know exactly how fair Ryan was, because this struck me as something that
he body slammed both Bobby and Daniel.
Right. This was some. That's this struck me as something that was that where Ryan definitely showed that he could be objective, even with all this stuff going on in the background. We're gonna play a clip real quick of what happens when I actually asked Daniel that exact question. This is after we'd already talked about some of the science elements of it, and I asked him about this particular transgender question.
This is something interesting that I've noticed as I went through the Flat Earther communities, as I've been kind of trying to learn a little bit more about this. I'm confused about some of the other ideas that have nothing to do with the Flat Earth that surround the communities, things that have to do with anti-Jewish sentiment, anti-transgender sentiment, things like that. Why is that so prevalent in that community? Because you know, you've been on those message boards. It's full of that stuff. Why is that?
Because people are trying to figure out who did what, who's doing what, who's lying to who.
And they thought it was Chaz Bono? Why do they hate transgender people?
Well, it's not, it's, so what do you mean they? They hate. All globalists, all earthers love transgender people?
No, I'm asking why this particular group has a specific hatred. You know, if you go on those message boards, there is a
heliocentrists and globe earthers have the same exact rift. There's the same. There's people that are pro-transgender, and there's people that are
sure, but you have to admit there's a huge percentage of people. You yourself have posted some semi-anti-transgender memes and stuff online. That runs strongly through that community. I'm asking this not for you to necessarily defend it. I'd like an explanation as to why those things go together.
Because there's a lot of psychology wrapped up into this whole mess. And I'd say, it's like, you don't want me to talk about how you believe in 9/11.
Right.
But you want me to talk about Hitler and transgenderism. I think we should stick to
that's fair. I'm gonna start with Daniel on this one.
Fair enough.
Keep it above the globe, Bobby.
Okay, and to Ryan's credit, that's right. You know, I mean, listen, I can ask him out of curiosity-wise why these groups have issues with transgender people or Jews or anything else like that. But to Ryan's credit, and he stopped that particular line of questioning for that, it has nothing to do with the validity or truth of their belief.
Right, and I stopped him when he started rambling about 9/11.
That's true.
Yeah, I did keep it very down the middle as far as my moderating was concerned. I was a ref, not a judge. Like I said, we're going to be airing the entire debate, edited for time but not content, the next episode. So stay tuned for that, and you'll hear it in its entirety.
All right, just one last thing on the debate. He did unblock me on Facebook after this, and I got in line at the end to ask a question, those audience questions. And the question I asked was, can I have a hug?
Yeah.
And he gave me a hug, and he said a couple times in posts on Facebook that was the highlight of the debate for him.
Hey, cool.
Well, listen, a lot of people had some questions for me that were hard to answer, but also, obviously, there's a lot of aggression that went on with a lot of people.
Right.
That was a highlight for me, too, because it was cordial, and everybody was having fun at that point.
The only thing I am concerned about is he had a supporter in the front.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was a rotund lady, Bobby.
And everything I would have loved about her except her beliefs.
Right. And I'm like, and I was even thinking, because I heard that he walked her to her car and then came back alone. I'm like, how do you not bang? Dude, that's a chick that's like.
She disappeared over the horizon. He lost her.
Oh, but anyway, Daniel, if you're listening, call her up, man. Get some banging done, dude. She's a fan. Anyway. Moving along, last night, this is what a great city this fucking is. I love this comedy scene. I love this whole fucking city. Is after watching Bobby battle a flat earther on Thursday, last night on Friday, I got to go down to Ocean Beach and watch the most brutal, brutal roast battle I've ever seen. And I showed up for Michael Castleberry versus Guy Murray. And the way that this roast battle usually I'm not a fan of roast battles, all right? But this, I knew the contestants genuinely didn't like each other, and that's what makes it good.
Right.
So I should. Most people are like, "Oh man, it's all in good fun." I'm like, "Bullshit! I want conflict.
Yeah.
I'm human."
Now I had judged the last two roast battles at Winston's, but I wasn't able to make this one, and you were there. I've heard a little bit of the follow-up, but I haven't heard really what happened, so I'm dying to hear this story.
I was also a judge at this. So anyways, background on Mike versus Guy. Guy is, let's say, not polished. He doesn't get a lot of stage time. He's known for wearing a big goofy hat, sometimes having props, and kind of not saying jokes exactly, just kind of saying things and leaving the audience confused. So anyway, he used to run a show, and Guy became notorious for not paying his comics,
right,
and giving him an excuse. And
but you don't mean not paying, like setting up shows that didn't pay. You mean promising to pay, promising, and not falling through.
Yes, very true. He'd promise to pay, not much. We're talking anywhere from $25 to $55, you know, for a headlining spot at a pizza place that was empty anyway. And so, you know, I did it once, and after it was horrible. Six people showed up, and they were all there to see me because it was in like the Temecula area, and I was embarrassed. Like, I'm sorry, you came all the way out here. You're the only ones here. And I did the show, and afterwards he was like, "Ooh, gonna have to get back to you about that $35." I'm like, "You know, fucking keep it."
Oh wow, that sucks. You had to drive out to Temecula too.
Yeah. So anyway, but more and more people started saying, you know, like, "Yeah, Guy didn't pay me." I'm like, "Eh, that's what he does." So anyway, he doesn't have that show anymore anyway, so whatever. So him and Mike got into it because Mike threw some shade at him and called him out for, you know, not paying comics. So they went up, and Guy, like I said, usually wears a big goofy hat. Mike came up on the stage just wearing his t-shirt and jeans. Guy comes up in a wrestling singlet, a Chargers cape.
Wow.
And a Lucha Libre mask. And the audience was just stunned.
Here's my question, just a real quick aside. If you were planning on doing this, couldn't you also hire a really good comedian? Because if they're wearing the Lucha Libre mask,
good point.
Then nobody would know, right?
Okay, yeah. Now, maybe he did, because he's such a bad comic. The guy he hired could be just a little better. Which, I mean, is still awful.
I don't know. I haven't seen him before. But I'm just saying, you can hire Chris Rock, put him in a Lucha Libre mask.
Sure. I think he can spot that one. You have a feel. So anyway, Mike crushed him. That you know, that's the long and short of that. And so I'm like, all right. So I came here to see what I want to see. Mike versus Guy. It happened exactly as I thought it would. It was one-sided. Mike won.
Now, Guy's jokes, like you said, don't make any sense. Did he actually have any roasts that made sense, or was it just...
Not really. Okay. The only one that was even coherent where he's like, Mike's wife filed for divorce. And at this point, he was stammering because he even knew how badly he was doing. So it took. I think he tripped over his words even getting that part out. He's like, he filed for divorce. On the form, the divorce, the paper for the form, it's she listed under the reasons D E F doesn't ever fuck. You hear that silence that you're hearing right now? That's the same it was at the club. So
hold on, I just thought of an idea. I just thought of an easy way to win a roast battle. You are losing horribly. So Guy goes up, he does all his bad jokes. His last insult should be, this entire set was written by Michael Castle.
Oh, that would have been good. So anyways, I thought my evening was over. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go meet Groobs down near the beach. Got a bonfire going down there. And all of a sudden, I was informed, no, there's one more roast battle.
Yeah.
It's Colin Dodge, a local guy, everyone knows him, versus this notorious internet troll.
Yes.
His name is Robert Wise Guy Smith.
W-Y-Z-E.
Not the cure.
Wise Guy.
Yeah, I figured that there was some stupid spelling, but I refused to look it up or participate in illiteracy. So,
now here's just to give the audience a little more baseline. Colin, he's a friend of ours, but he's a drunk dude. He's generally kind of a mess. We all know this. He's not
I like
that.
Colin.
No, we like him. We like him. But generally, we don't see him like do very well at shows. So, you know, this roast seems like it's kind of an undersell. It's like, yeah, what's going to happen?
Colin is excellent when he's sober. I will say that to him. Not so much when he's had too much to drink. Yeah.
Right,
yeah, but I think Colin can be really, really funny.
Yeah.
Right, but bottom line is this doesn't seem like it's going to be anything special.
Right, right. So I'm like, all right, so here's the troll. And I realize, I'm like, oh, Colin's soberish. I'm like, this could be good. And so he goes up. And this guy, the troll, Robert Smith, he is your quintessential, you know, Yankees ball cap. Yo, I'm from New York. Yeah, up there with the, over here in Cali, you guys are pussies, eh? That's his whole bit. It's not very funny. It's not very creative at all. You know, he does a whole bit on you should hit your kids. Shocking. Anyways, he goes up, and the first thing that happens is Robert gets in Colin's face. In his face, yelling, yeah, like he's fucking Conor McGregor Mayweather. He's like, what, bitch, what? Fuck you. What, bitch? What? What, bitch? What?
That's how it starts?
That's how it starts. He is in his face. I thought he was going to throw a swing just right at the bat. Nothing had been said yet.
Wow.
What's Colin doing?
Colin is just kind of staring at him, confused, and it was like, whoa, buddy, you need to back up. He's like, step away from Colin Dodge, please.
What wise guy, when he got booked for this, he didn't see the word roast. He just thought it was a battle.
Why did you bring that axe?
He gives him an armor made out of trash cans. So, anyways, he finally, like, composes himself so that we can start this fucking thing. And, anyway... Colin did the beautifully crafted 8 mile move where he just started out. He used his first joke to say, everything that's about to come out of this guy's mouth is going to be a homophobic gay joke about me. Everything. Watch one thing not be a gay joke. Come on. All right. Go ahead. And dude, like a deer in headlights, Robert just starts in with, he sucks dick. He couldn't even change it up right then after being called out. So then Colin fucking smashes him with a really good one next. I forget what he said exactly. And it went back to Robert. He's like, he's gay. He has sex with men. It was so troubling. It was like, do you remember when Rumble Johnson knocked out Glover Teixeira in 13 seconds?
Yeah.
Imagine that, but then the ref allows him to soccer kick him in the head for 4 more rounds. There should have been a mercy rule. Like me and the two other judges were like, should we just mercy rule this and just say it's done?
It's just intramural softball, man. You don't need to run up the score.
Yeah, come on. It's all. So anyway, obviously he won. The whole crowd was just like, I think at one point he did his like fourth homophobic you're gay joke and someone yelled, get off the stage. And like, so it was clear that it was a massacre. So Colin wins it. The event's over. The headliner goes up. Colin goes out front to smoke. And all of a sudden, people start whispering to each other and people start running outside. And so two guys came up to me like, dude, I think Colin might need your help. I think Colin might need your help. And I'm like, and I go out, and Robert is in Colin's face, like trying to fight him. He is literally trying to fight him.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh shit. Okay, all right. Now Colin's got some height on the guy.
Yes.
But the dude does look like a bit of a scrapper. I'll give that to him. So so I start just kind of easing behind Robert, and I give Colin like a wink, like I got you, but. Again, I don't think Colin needed my help because after he was like, what, bitch, do something. Colin, not known for his conflicts or being a tough guy, all of a sudden ramps up and goes, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. No one wants you here. No one wants you in comedy. No one wants to hear what you have to say on the internet. You're a bitch. Fuck you. And so, and then he turns to me and he goes, can I get a cigarette? And Robert goes, psh. Need to borrow cigarettes? Want me to go buy you a whole pack? And he goes, yes, go buy me a fucking pack of cigarettes, bitch. And the guy just kind of slinks away. He backed him down.
It'd be great if he just showed up like 5 minutes later with really sheepishly with a pack of cigarettes. Yeah. Yeah. And
so
like,
he backs him down.
I cannot deny a request.
And everyone is now like, so first he got humiliated comedically on stage. Then fucking Colin backs him down in a fight outside in front of everybody. And so before he goes, I don't know if he tried to cut his losses or realized how bad he was coming off, but he comes up to Colin and shakes his hand and goes, hey, man, you know, it's all in good fun. I was just messing with you. And like, he looks at us, he's like, we do this all the time. And Colin's like, no, we don't. I don't like you. He's like, nah, he's just messing around. We like to mess with each other. He's like, no, I'm not messing around. I don't like you. Fuck off.
Also, where are my cigarettes?
Yeah, what are my fucking cigarettes? So that was a bad night for the wise guy.
Cut to later on in a living room somewhere in OB.
Two little feet swinging back and forth.
Colin and Rob sitting on a couch together. That went pretty good, right? Yeah. I think we did okay. Yeah. Nice job.
And then Robert looks at him and goes, man, those jokes I wrote for you were fucking killing. Man, but I hear that wasn't at all, again, why you say I love the San Diego comedy community. That wasn't all that went on. There was still another headline level event that happened in which we all found out that there has been a great San Diego headliner coming Jesus down here and performing Christ. On the reg that somehow we had never even heard of.
Yes. Now, I've not heard of this guy before. But all of a sudden, Mike DeVore posted this guy's Twitter account. His name is Frankie Hopkins. Was it Hopkins?
Hopkins.
Hopkins. So look him up if you're at home. Frankie Hopkins. And he posted this thing that said, on my way down to headline the Madhouse Comedy Club, going to do about 30 minutes. And everyone kind of scratched their head. We all kind of know who's right. Headlining where at all times in this city. So I'm like, well, no, he's not. Mike DeVore's headlining that. And he's like, this guy lies about being in clubs. Don't worry, everyone. I'm still headlining tonight. No one knows this guy. No one's booked him. And so...
Right. Hold on. I just want to stop because there is a victim in this crime, which is if Mike has told a bunch of his people, hey, I'm headlining tonight, and then that gets around. Now, it might not necessarily happen, but if it does get around to a bunch of people, they're like, oh, yeah, I was going to come to see Mike, but I don't know who the fuck this guy is.
Right.
That.
Right. So...
That... Now, I found out about, not from Mike, but I saw the owner of the Madhouse posted a screenshot of that guy's tweet saying, hey... Watch out for this fraud.
Right.
He's like, we've not booked him. We have no contact with him. And then a few people, he starts like hitting up people around town and not even cordially. Like, what time is your bar show start and how much time do I get? Not can I be booked? What time does your show start and how much time do I get?
I tried to engage him. I tried to bait him on Twitter. Like a bunch of us were doing this. I was like, hey, I heard you were there last night. How'd it go? And he was like, oh, yeah, I crushed.
So initially, right now, when I see this guy, and then a few other comics catch on, they start posting warnings. By the way, this guy's not a headliner, maybe even a comedian. Watch out for he's a fraud. What I thought initially was, here's a new comic that's got delusions of grandeur in his head about being an overnight success. He probably has a showbiz wannabe friend that gave him that cliche advice, hey, fake it till you make it. And doesn't realize what a bad start he's off to. So I made a post like, dude, you're fucking up. Stop lying that you're headlining clubs. You're going to blacklist yourself. Just start over. This will blow over, but stop doing that. And then I found out there is an entire Reddit group dedicated to this guy.
Yep.
And his fraudulent... my buddy Ken, I went to college with, he's now an actor. He's on a show on HBO. It escapes me at the moment. But so he's really in it up there in Hollywood. And he's like, dude, you don't realize this guy takes people's short films, their independent films that aren't very well known, but are very well done, and he edits the title screen to say that he wrote and directed
yeah.
it.
I saw that. It's amazing.
That is sociopathic.
And apparently he like hires out entire crews for certain projects or whatever and then just never pays them. Because
right.
there was some people who were like, yeah, he owes us 110 grand.
Yeah.
Oh my God, for real?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now a lot of comics were calling him out as you did, like, hey, you didn't headline that club. Hey, you're a fraud, whatever. I went the other tack. I was trying to get him to come to a show.
Yeah.
Yes. So was our friend Allison Gill. She offered him a spot at a show. She actually offered him time at the Ken Club where we were having the debate.
Oh, yeah.
I was really hoping you
would
show up.
Which would have been great.
Would have been fantastic.
What a great like finale to that show.
What a great
show.
Nightcap.
Oh, yeah. But it occurred to me then that this guy's actually pretty smart because when he posts about Madhouse, he doesn't tag Madhouse.
Yeah.
He doesn't tag the clubs he says he's going to. He's very smart. He knows that he's burning bridges with comics. He doesn't care about that. He wants ordinary people to see, oh, look how busy this guy is. Look how
right.
big. He wants to build a following. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get all our comic friends, anytime he posts something, we need to go online and post that we were at that show and he was incredibly drunk. He was racist. He yelled at a customer. He took a swing at a woman.
He was in blackface.
And we need to tag him. Tag him in all his posts.
In its entirety.
Because one of two things will happen. He'll either have to admit that he wasn't there.
Right.
Or he'll just look like a piece of shit.
30-minute set all on Holocaust denial. It was horrible.
Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to get to happen.
I like that. That's a good plan, Dave.
Let's have a debate where whether or not he's a comic, whether or not he exists.
I did see some people trolling him about coming to like perform at the Go Lounge for $2,000.
And he did book two different spots that he no-showed.
Oh, man.
He did book two spots, and he just didn't show up.
That's what I'm saying. He'll post that he's there, but he won't go. He'll never go because he knows that all the people who know he's a fraud will be there waiting for him.
Yeah. Well,
so he's never going to show up at one of those
not
spots.
Not only that, but I mean, how much you guys want to bet that he doesn't have a set?
Of course not. Yeah, no.
I don't think he's ever written a joke in his life. All right. It's been a busy week, hasn't it?
It has been a super busy week. I'm super excited for everybody to hear the audio portion of the debate in its entirety next week.
Yes, we will not be doing a traditional episode next week. We're just going to air the debate.
Right.
We are all off, so enjoy the next episode, which will be the entire Flat Earth debate. So this is Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying, see you in 2 weeks, cruising with the twos. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. No one wants you here.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 motherfucking time is passing by.